The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John begins his gospel with this prologue, a hymn to the Word through whom all things were created. This Word became flesh and brought grace and truth to the world. The Gospel reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, I do have a children's message this morning, and it strikes me that I think tomorrow the boys and girls are going to be headed back to school after a nice long winter break. So I wanted to talk about the three R's. When I was a youngster, we talked about reading, writing, and arithmetic, and that's what we studied. Today, I think they call them language arts and mathematics. So you boys and girls, that's probably what you will know them by. But let's think about the three R's for just a moment here. Let me read a little bit of the gospel text to you once again. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So let's think about the three R's that we hear about in this gospel lesson that I read for you. The first R is for reject. Now, when faced with the choice of what to do with Jesus, many people chose to reject him. And that's what the Bible says. Jesus came to his own people, but his own people chose to reject him, many of his own people, that is. The Bible says that Jesus came to his own people, but his own people refused to believe that he was the Son of God. They refused to believe that he was who he said he was. They chose to reject Jesus. And even today, many people still choose to reject Jesus. The second R is for receive. Some people choose to receive Jesus and believe in his name. The Bible tells us that those who receive him, to those that receive him, he gives the right to become the children of God. You and I choose to receive Jesus, and when we do, we are given the right to become the children of God. Now, the third R is for reflect. Jesus came and was born in a stable to show us what God is like. We have seen the glory of God through the life of Jesus, and now we must make a choice. We can choose to keep it to ourselves, or we can choose to reflect that glory through our words and our actions. So, boys and girls, this week you go back to school and back to mathematics and language arts, or the three R's. But we need to remember that every day we face the three R's of what to do with Jesus. And I pray that we will all make the right choices. Let's pray. Dear God, for those who have not yet chosen to receive Jesus and believe in him, we pray that they will make that choice today. For those of us who have chosen to receive him, may our lives reflect his glory in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Good luck as you go back to school, boys and girls. And make it a good 2022. Gosh, it's good to be back with y'all here. And I'll cherish the month of January as we spend these next weeks together. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you packed up all of your Christmas decorations yet? Jerry, I hear that you have. They're all packed up. Well, that's pretty good. If you haven't yet, then you probably will soon. The artificial tree will be dismantled, or if you have a real one, you'll drag it out for recycling. The wreaths and garland will be carefully placed in boxes, and the ornaments will be sorted into partition containers or wrapped securely and stored in the attic for the next 11 months. Epiphany will begin in just a few days, and the 12 days of Christmas will be over. But before we bid the season of Christmas farewell, we're given an opportunity to have a look at a Christmas story that we rarely examine. Matthew's account of the Magi and Luke's account of the angels and shepherds we know well, don't we? But this is the third Christmas story that I refer to today, the one told by John that we read in our gospel lesson. You'd have a hard time writing a children's Christmas pageant based on John's gospel. John tells of no expectant parents journeying to Jerusalem. There are neither shepherds nor angels, no wise men following a star. There's not even a baby lying in a manger. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A Christmas pageant based on the Gospel of John would be very simple indeed. All you would need is a single candle. The church would be bare and dark, the chancel stripped of all the furniture and decorations, the only thing visible would be a small, insignificant table. And on that table would sit a single, unlit candle. Worshippers would sit for a very long time, silent as a Quaker meeting. Finally, someone, without a word, would get up and light that single candle. And with that lit candle, the darkness would be pierced, shoved back by the one thing that has power, ultimately to push all darkness back, the light. And that would be that. No one, of course, would ever seriously try to put on a Christmas pageant based on John's gospel. Yet, can you see how different John's Christmas story is? No color, music, or pageantry. Just one blazing, incontrovertible truth. A single statement so profound that maybe the only way to appreciate it is to sit in utter darkness and watch the candlelit shadows play across the ceiling. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. How the light of a candle can push back the darkness is a remarkable sight, and one that we seldom witness in these days of electricity. But even the smallest solitary flame can accomplish that, and no amount of darkness can make that candlelight retreat even one inch. In the beginning was the Word, says John. Small comfort in that. Words are cheap and plentiful in this wired culture of ours. But that's not the way the Bible looks at words. In the scripture, words are almost living things. In the first chapter of Genesis, for instance, we're told that God speaks a word and creation comes into being. Psalm 33 tells us, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of God's mouth." God's word is remarkably enduring. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. So says the prophet Isaiah. Now we know from experience that this is true of certain words we speak or hear in our own lives. To be sure, there are swiftly forgotten words, the social pleasantries that help pass time in a doctor's waiting room. But then imagine if you go from the waiting room to the examining room and hear those fateful words fall from your doctor's lips. "George, I'm sorry to inform you, the biopsy was positive." Those words endure, and they change life forever. Commenting on this prologue to John, the biblical scholar N.T. Wright points out how the idea of the word isn't an abstract principle, it's a person. And he goes on to say, John introduces us to him. That's the theme of this gospel. If you want to know who the true God is, look long and hard at Jesus. What has come into being in Jesus Christ, says John, was life. Now, this isn't the sort of life the world values at Christmas time. Let's be clear about that. The life the world values is the shallow exuberance of the holiday cheer, the life of the party. It is by and large a party to which the poor, for instance, are not invited. For who can afford parties when you're worried about finding enough food to eat or a roof over your head? And it's not the sort of party to which the sick and disabled are invited either. Unable as they are to venture out and see the sparkling lights on the houses or to rub elbows with shoppers at the Galleria Mall. It's not a party to which those who are grieving feel especially welcome either. Too many who have recently lost loved ones to death find themselves regarding Christmas with sadness. As Tiny Tim in the old movie version of A Christmas Carol gazes through the toy store window at treasures he will never hold. Christmas 2021, tainted for a second year by coronavirus, is perhaps teaching everyone once again, as it did last year, what it's like to dial down the holiday merriment, to value the single glowing candle in the place of bustling crowds. The life of the secular Christmas party, in most years anyway, is revelry and merriment, perhaps too much to eat and drink, and at the end of it all, a mountain of trash to be hauled out to the curb. Good times, most would affirm, yet hardly the sort of experience one would sum up using the single glowing word, life. Years ago, entertainment mogul Ted Turner described this sort of empty existence most vividly when he cynically remarked, "Life is like a B movie. You don't want to leave in the middle of it, but you don't want to see it again." The secular world seems, in its B movie revelry, to desperately grasp at anything that resembles life. Somehow, we never catch it. That would seem to explain the holiday blues phenomenon that afflicts so many as one year moves into another. Having failed to discover life inside the gaudiest package under the tree or suspended inside the last drop hanging from the lip of the wine bottle, the secular world waits for many more weeks of winter, hardly daring at this early stage to dream of spring. But here's where John's vision of life in the dead of winter, of a glowing candle piercing the darkness, is so powerful. You don't need to have had a perfect Christmas. You don't need to have received the gift you always wanted. You don't even need to have celebrated Christmas at all. All you need is to have encountered the one at the heart of the celebration and to have known as you did so that, as the carol says, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. This morning, in a few minutes, you will be invited to come to the table where Christ is host. Here you will partake of the tiniest portion of bread and wine or grape juice, in whose taste, far from rich holiday fare, is perfectly ordinary. It's hardly a meal to rival the overflowing tables of so many Christmas feasts, but my friends, that's not the point. Our purpose as Christ followers is not to bask in the life of the party. It is rather to celebrate in Christ the party of life. And so we do so here at First Lutheran Church as we embrace a new year and a future full of life. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as you are able, and we will sing our hymn of the day.